Now, it is interesting. I don't know how many of you realize that today is our two-year Easter Sunday. We'll go, not today, but Easter Sunday is our two-year anniversary in this building, which, praise the Lord, huh? That's amazing. I mean, I look at a few of you that were here when we stood out there and all these walls were in here still, and we prayed over this building if we should come here or not. And here, God has been so faithful to us 2 years later, celebrating our third Easter Sunday together. And our third, actually, the morning, the sunrise service was amazing. We had 60, 70 people on that roof just worshiping Jesus this morning. It was pretty amazing. You know, it's also been about 2.5 years since we actually started this church here in Chiang Mai. And when we started in John 1. Actually, Mark gave the first message ever with the church at the house, if you remember. And now he's here with us on our anniversary day in this building. So praise the Lord. But 2.5 years we've been going through the Gospels, chronologically, verse by verse, kind of chapter by chapter. So much has taken place as we have studied the Scriptures. And I hope that after we see going through all the Gospels here in 2.5 years, you guys have really learned a lot more about Jesus and the disciples and what it was to walk with the disciples and who we are in Jesus. But also exciting, here in a few more weeks, we're going to be in the book of Acts on Sunday. So 2.5 years, that's good. We'll move on here. We're kind of slow, but we did a good job, I think. So again, today is Easter Sunday, and we're going to see a story today about a summary, really, of Jesus and his resurrection. The story of these two men and Jesus. And the title of the message is, Have You Heard? You ready? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
One more time. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen. You guys did so much better than the other service. Praise the Lord. You're going to have your cue come up a few more times in the message. Please pay attention and listen for it. Okay? So a quick review, as normal, but we'll be even quicker this week. Last week, we were in John chapter 20, 3 through 18. We also finished up in Matthew for a minute. But it's Sunday morning in the passages we're looking at. And the two disciples had heard from Mary that Jesus' body was missing from the tomb. Then we know about the race, right? We talked about the race. The one run faster than the other to investigate, to get to the empty tomb, and they found that empty tomb. We also learned last week about Mary, how she was then visited by Jesus. He is alive, and she ran back to the disciples then, we studied last week. But we're going to have to wait to see how that turns out till next week. Because this time, today, we're going to be in Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through 34. Luke 24:13. The story today that we're going to look at, it's very interesting that it's taking place at the exact same time that Mary likely was heading back to the disciples to share the news. So let's begin. You got your Bibles. Luke 24. Let's look at the first few verses, 13 and 14. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. Let's just stop right there. So again, this story is taken the very same day as Jesus' resurrection. The very same day that the women and the two disciples had been told, Christ is risen. So only hours later now, after the resurrection, these two followers now that we read about in this story have given up hope. They were returning home, going back to what they seemed to have known. We don't know much about these two, though, do we? We know that they're called followers of Jesus. We're going to get one of their names in a minute. Maybe they could have been two brothers. Maybe they were a husband and wife. We're not sure. We're not told. We just told there's two followers of Jesus. Also, it's interesting. It's likely we kind of believe their home was Emmaus. But we don't really know. We know they were traveling there. We can assume, I guess. But it's interesting, too. We don't know nothing about this town, really. We don't even know where it's located. The story begins with two people that we don't know much about, that are from a town and going to a town that we don't know much about. Interesting. What is special about this story, though? What's special about these two Jesus followers that we 2,000 years later are reading about them in God's Word? Nothing special about them. What's interesting? Just as most of us really today, right? Nothing real special about most of us. I did share, though, there are some of you that are special. See some grins. But, you know. So what is special about this story, though, and these two, and this, what's going on, is the testimony that they're going to share. That is what's special in what we're going to read about today. We're going to learn a lesson from this story, these passages, but it's not about the followers. It's not about these two followers, is it? It's about who they were going to encounter and who they would testify of. That is what's special in this story. Made me think, what about our own story if it was written? What about our own testimony as we would share our testimony? As we study this story, think about that. Think about your own story, your own testimony. What would you share? What's special about your story? Think about that. I'm going to come back to that at the end of the message. Now, it's interesting, if you look at verse 13, it does say that these were followers of Jesus. So that's the way they're introduced to us. And even as we're going to read here in the later, we're going to read that these followers, their faith had really wavered, I believe, because they had a misunderstanding or an incorrect understanding of who Jesus was at this time. We're going to read about this. But as I thought about this, as they're introduced to followers of Jesus, it made me wonder and question, what does it mean? I mean, we're Easter Sunday. What does it mean or qualifies you to belong to or to be a follower of Jesus? Is it a rock solid faith that's always unwavering? Or maybe it's a perfect understanding or a memorization of Scripture in the Bible? Can one be a follower of Jesus even if their faith does waver? Or their understanding of Jesus is not complete? Even if they don't know all the Bible, they don't have everything worked out. To be a follower of Jesus, one must have faith. To repent and surrender their lives to Jesus, the Son of God. I'm going to make sure and get that defined. Salvation is through faith alone. And faith in the one who came to the earth as a man to have the sins of the world placed upon him, paying the price of each of our sins. Then we know, as we celebrate today, that Jesus then defeated sin. And then he was resurrected. He rose from the grave. Christ is risen. You guys got it. So this is what a person needs to do to have eternal life. To believe, to place their faith in Jesus. And then through that, they receive a personal relationship with Jesus through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Who then, through that, will then reveal greater truths about Jesus and the Word. A follower of Jesus is one who's came to faith, repented, and surrendered to Jesus as Lord. Sanctification, some may be a big word for them, is this process of becoming Christ-like, becoming like Jesus. This is a lifelong process that takes place in our life. Once we are a follower, once the Holy Spirit is in us, he's always changing us and molding us into the person he would have us be. But again, this happens once a person has come to faith, once they have believed in Jesus, once they have been saved from their sin, and then through the resurrection and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, God is constantly working on that person, revealing their truth through his word and changing that person. So I'm here on Easter Sunday to tell you, salvation is through faith alone. And you know what? Even as believers in Jesus, our faith sometimes, we have hard times. We're not perfect. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 tells us, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Every single person here today can be saved, and those that are saved through faith alone. So let's continue in Luke. And let's see what these two are talking about and what's happening. We're going to look at 15 and 16. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. So Jesus now in this story has chosen to walk alongside these two followers. As they're walking away from the fellowship, away from the Passover, away from the other followers. And really, what's happened now is their faith, they've stumbled. They've been stumbled. They've been stumbled by their own misconceptions of who Jesus is. They've been stumbled by their own misconception of who Jesus is. The resurrected Jesus was there with them. Yet, for some reason, right now at this point, God has not allowed for these men to know that this man that was walking to them was the resurrected Jesus Christ. So I kind of wonder, like, why? I mean, I read things like this, I'm like, why? I don't know why. I don't know why that God just didn't let these two know right away why Jesus was with them. I mean, I'm not sure, but I think obviously God let this story kind of play out, right? And kind of go through these different explanations and talking with him. I think what happened is these two, as they started to talk and explain, they were working it out. They're working their salvation out, their faith out. And as they started to talk, Jesus then was revealed to them who he was. I mean, could you imagine this taking place? It's a pretty neat story. Jesus is walking with them on the road as they talked, as they discussed about who he was and what happened to him. And he's there with them. I asked myself, could this like happen today? What do you think? Two persons sitting down or walking, talking, questioning who Jesus is and what he's done. This happens. People walk and ask, like, who is Jesus? Who is these Christians? Walking. But Jesus, I think just as he was there, he's with these people having conversations even today. The whole time praying for them, interceding for them, for their hearts to change. Praying for them to come to faith and speaking to their hearts. Just as I believe he was speaking to these two. I think it's a beautiful picture. Let's see what's going to happen and look at verse 17 through 18. He asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there in the last few days. Again, imagine yourself in the story that's taking place, walking with them. This was a huge disappointment, a huge deal for these two. They were very saddened. They were very disappointed. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but now their faith had wavered. And this guy they're walking with, they're like, how does this guy have no clue what has taken place? How have you not heard? It would have been very odd to them. I mean, you think about this today. Say you're walking with your best friend or your husband or your wife and you're walking along. What do you talk about? What things of the world, news? Like, you know, when you talk to someone, you see someone, what do you talk about? What's going on in the world around us? What are the things you talk about? Maybe you're discussing different hot topics. You know, sometimes we do that as Christians. Maybe you're asking questions like to your friend, hey, should a Christian listen to the Taylor Swift or a new song? Is that okay? Maybe you're talking about that. Or maybe you're talking about, a lot of us travel a lot here. I think everyone here travels a lot. Maybe you're talking about the airplanes. You're like, is this safe to fly? Because all these airplanes keep falling apart in the sky. What are you guys talking about? Or maybe something really serious and saddening, the news. Maybe you read the news how 45 people died heading to celebrate Easter. Yet, in 45 people, there was one person that survived, an 8-year-old girl. This happened in Africa. So that's very sobering news. When you're asking questions like, how did this happen? How did all 45 die and one survived? Asking questions. So you can imagine some of these conversations. Maybe some of them are kind of silly. Some of them very serious and somber. But it could also get very emotional. And even sometimes when you're having conversations with people, maybe it's political. You want to talk politics or something. It could get very controversial, right? What news or what is the talk of the town today? Obviously, in Jesus' time, the talk of the town, the thing that people talked about as they were out and about was Jesus and his crucifixion. I mean, they were passionate about this. Passionate. Was he the Messiah or was he a false prophet? Was he alive? Was he dead? Did them women really see angels? This is the conversation that was taking place. Did we all just waste our time following him? Was it real? What's next? What are we going to do now? Can you imagine how this conversation went? As I wrote these questions, I also see that even to some of the silly questions and the other questions that we have in life, the answer to me is always the same. No matter what questions we have, it seems the answer to me is often the same. We ask often, right, when things happen, right? Maybe we don't get the visa we wanted. Maybe we have to leave the country, or maybe we have to flee a country, or lots of things happen. But the answer we ask is, what's next? What are we going to do now? Right? These people were asking that as they're walking. Is Jesus, he wasn't who we thought he was. What's next? What are we going to do now? Well, the question is simple. When we face all these different situations that each one of us is going to face, disappointments, hardships, maybe even good things sometimes, what's next? Maybe you've been blessed. You could ask, what's next? What are we going to do now? Could happen. Are you going to live in fear or trust God in his word? The answer is always the same. Are you going to live in fear or are you going to trust God in his word? So my main point, going back to this, looking at this conversation, you know, I skipped, I think, the hottest conversation we all have in Chiang Mai. Everyone know what the hottest conversation we always have? It is hot today, but no. The smoke, right? Everybody's talking about the AQI. It's 124 outside right now. It's actually down. It's 180 earlier. But you imagine like meeting someone on the street and talking to them and introducing them. And you're like, wow, it's smoky out today. And they're like, what are you talking about? What's this smoke you're talking about? You look at them like sideways. Like, are you blind? Like, have you not been here? I mean, you would have the same response that these two followers had to this man. Because you're like, are you the only person in Chiang Mai, Thailand, who hasn't noticed the smoke? Where have you been living? In a cave with the door sealed somewhere? Catch that? So Jesus' crucifixion was the conversation. Everyone was talking about it. Everyone knew about it. It was a public display. And it's what was happening amongst the people. And Jesus' followers, including these two, were extremely upset. Their hopes have seemed to be hung on a cross and died. It's literally what they saw. So let's see. Let's continue listening on this conversation. Verse 19 through 21. What things, Jesus asked. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth. They said, he was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priest and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped, let me read that again, verse 21. We had hoped he was the Messiah who came to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. So Jesus, very interesting, asked them about what are these things. He asked these two men, or two followers of Jesus, we don't know who they were. He asked them to retell the events of what had taken place. I mean, it's interesting. If Jesus or anyone asked you, how would you retell the events? What would you say? What would your story sound like? Could you tell the events of Jesus' crucifixion, his resurrection? What do you believe? So these followers, interesting, you look at, they had a lot of the facts in there, right? They gave some facts that were correct, but they were missing a very, very, very important part. Jesus had risen and he was alive. Jesus had, through this, saved the world from its sin and death. And again, this gift now is available to any to receive through placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I pray, and I read this, and I thought about this, that no person would ever say as these two said. You know what they said? I had hoped. I had hoped. There's so powerful words I think we face today. Many people in the world would come almost to a point of believing that Jesus has the answers, but never come to faith. I had hoped. Because they often, I think the reason why, just as these two, they misunderstand who Jesus is. They misunderstand what he truly did for them. In fact, often, they hoped Jesus was truly something else. They were seeking redemption, but these two were confused. They believed in a physical redemption, just as many people today are seeking. They're seeking for all the answers physically in this world. They'd hoped Jesus was going to free them from their worldly problems. But we know what Jesus did was so much bigger than that, wasn't it? So much bigger. Jesus freed us from the biggest problem we will ever have, which is sin and death. He redeemed us. He allowed us to be forever free from sin and to have our place with eternity in heaven. So let's continue and see in verses 22 through 24 what's going to happen. They're continuing with this story to Jesus, explaining to him what happened. Then some women from from our group of his followers were at his tomb early in the morning. They came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing. And they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of the men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the woman had said. You know, it's very likely, I think, as they're recounting this story, I'm sure many passages of Scripture had flooded their minds. And as they told of the Messiah, I'm sure Jesus' words even went through their minds as they're trying to understand what had taken place. And they had even been given a report. But they really, at this point, didn't understand that Jesus was alive. They had all the pieces of the puzzle, right? They had it all. They had the testimony. But it seems they still needed a little help to truly come to faith to believe. I'm sure as they're telling this story, Jesus' words would have continually been placed on their hearts and their minds of what he had said. But yet, they obviously didn't quite grasp it yet. They didn't quite understand. Their doubt or their unbelief kept coming up and probably asking themselves, why did this happen? This wasn't the way we expected this to happen. It shouldn't have looked like this. This wasn't what we thought it would look like. Maybe some of us have said the same thing in our lives. As we look at our own lives, this isn't the way I expected this to be. This isn't how I thought it should be. This isn't what I hoped for. You ever said that and looked at your life? This isn't what I expected. This isn't what I hoped for. I think Jesus is even speaking to some here now, speaking to them, just as he was speaking to these two men, to have faith, repent, and trust Jesus. Surrender to Jesus as Lord. So Jesus has even more to say to these two now that they've given this story. Let's see what he has to say in verses 25 through 27. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to come and suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets." You read that word all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus rebukes these men, or these two. I keep saying men, but these two. We don't know who they were. Rebukes them for their ignorance, their lack of faith, and then gives them a Bible study, a Bible lesson is what he gives them. I mean, I can relate. I've been rebuked. I've also wavered in my own faith at times. And I'll tell you, when I have personally wavered in my faith and whatever was going on in my life, if it's a calling or something I should do, and I'm like, whatever the case is, I know that for me, if I'm in the Word of God, each time the Holy Spirit will also do the same for me. It will rebuke me, and it bring me back to faith. And also, as I read, the Holy Spirit will bring back to me the account of his faithfulness and how he's always been faithful. And then I also now, as I've walked years with the Lord, I have pillars in my life and stones of remembrance that I can look back and see once again how he's been faithful. I don't know if this happens to you, but it happens to me. My faith wavers at times. Being here for 2 years in this building, it's not always been easy. But God is always faithful because he's called us here. So you can imagine this conversation taking place. Jesus giving this Bible study, revealing himself through the Old Testament. Wouldn't that have been amazing to hear? Jesus teaching who he was, revealing himself through the scriptures, reading through the Old Testament or quoting the Old Testament. We aren't given what passages he spoke. We're not told. I can only imagine, right? Maybe Jesus would have started just like in Genesis 3:15. Maybe. He could have said, "And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Then maybe, I just assume, I don't know, maybe Jesus went to Isaiah 53. Says, you remember Isaiah 53? What about verse 3? Didn't have verses, but... "He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way." Wow, did they just do that? "He was despised and we did not care." What about verse 7? "He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep is silent before the shearers. He did not open his mouth. Isaiah 53:9. He had done no wrong and never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. Maybe he continued then. Maybe in Zechariah, like chapter 12, verse 10, or maybe Malachi 3:1. We're not given the details, but it's amazing. We see, and as we have studied the Old Testament, we're going through it on Wednesday. It's amazing. The entire Old Testament reveals Jesus, right? It's a revelation. It's telling of him. It's foretelling of Jesus to come. And Jesus went, you know, you hear some, I was listening to a podcast the other day, some church, they're saying, oh, you don't need the Old Testament. No. Through the Old Testament, Jesus is revealed. Jesus, ready for this? Jesus was bringing these men to faith through the teaching of the Word of God through the Old Testament. You hear that? Jesus was bringing these men to faith through the teaching of the Word of God through the Old Testament. That's powerful. That's truth. Jesus clearly showed these men through the Word, the Old Testament, who he was and who he is, bringing these two as they were walking away to a knowledge and a new understanding that Christ is risen. And he was with them. Isn't that amazing? The world would paint such a different picture today, wouldn't it? So what do you think we can learn from this story and learn from Jesus when our faith has wavered and maybe we're walking in the wrong direction? We can draw closer to Jesus through reading the Word, through fellowship with other believers. Clearly, it shows this here. We're all going to face different times in our life where our faith wavers. Maybe there's some even today that's struggling with something, struggling with a sin, struggling with a calling, wondering if this is where I should be. We must be in God's Word daily. Dig into His Word. And find rest, knowing all as it should be according to God's will. He will take care of these things. Let's continue in Luke and look at 28 through 30. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted if he were going on. But they begged him, stay the night with us, since it's getting late. So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment he disappeared. So we read this and it's very apparent these two were very interested in what this man had to say. In accordance to their custom, I'm sure also surely wishing to hear more from him, they invited Jesus into their home, really begging him and pleading with him to come in and reside with him and eat with him and spend the evening. And as I've seen that, I kind of see in these scriptures a picture of faith. What I see. They invited Jesus in. They had fellowship with him. And through that, their eyes were open to the truth of who he was. That's what I see in that. Isn't that a beautiful picture? They invited him in. They fellowshiped with him. They broke bread with him. And through that, more was revealed. It's an amazing picture that I see. I see, again, more was revealed. And that's what happens when we invite Jesus in and we have fellowship today through the reading of the Word, through fellowship, through going to church. More will be revealed. When we're struggling, get into the Word. Get into fellowship. God will reveal what He needs to reveal to you. So let's see their response here in 32 and 34. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as He talked with us on the road? As He explained the scriptures to us. And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, the Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter. If we ever find ourselves where we're having a hard time, maybe we have stumbled. Maybe there's someone here today that's just questioning. Where do you turn? What do you do? Because we're all going to face that. You turn to the Word. You turn to the Word. I want to read a scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 6. Let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcome it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believed something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scripture said. He was seen by Peter, and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Jesus used the Scriptures to bring these two back to faith. Amen. They came then through the Scriptures and the revelation of Scriptures to a new understanding, able to look back and then see Jesus had been with them the entire time. Even as they were walking away, even as they didn't understand what was taking place at the time, they didn't understand the how, the why, they didn't understand what was going to happen next. But through the teaching of the Scriptures, Jesus was revealed to them and they knew. So something now has changed in them. They had now an understanding that was supernatural. They said here, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the Scriptures to us? Maybe some of you are doing great and are really strong in faith. But it's interesting, you can be really strong in your faith, but I wonder when we read our Bibles and we read the Word and the Holy Spirit just spoke to us. Just revealed something to us. Just spoke to us in a way that you knew without question it was from the Lord. A revelation of the meaning of it maybe, or a plan, or a Scripture that's going to encourage you, or maybe you're struggling with something and God just gives you that Scripture and you're like, this is from the Lord. Or maybe you've read passage and you see just it in a different light. I want to read a quote from Chuck Smith, and this is, I just love this quote. I love it. I want to share it with you. I tell you, I get so excited just reading the Word of God. I get so excited. There are times when I just really can hardly contain myself as God's Spirit begins to open up the Scriptures to me just as I'm reading. The Spirit of God just begins to open them up. And I just get so excited. I can't describe to you just how exciting it is to be taught of the Spirit, the truth of God's Word, and suddenly just have the understanding given to you and the Scriptures opened up to you. That burning inside of that Holy Spirit revealing His truth to you. As I was reading all the passages and I've studied different commentaries, and I saw many different lessons I think all of us can take from these passages and many lessons I can apply to my life. And communion is going to begin to be passed out here in a minute. But I just want to share what I kind of took from these passages. We studied really these two men. Sorry, I keep saying men. I even wrote it there. These two people. They had left Jerusalem. Left the Passover celebration. They had left with very, very heavy hearts. They were entirely focused on how disappointed they were that Jesus wasn't the person they believed and hoped he was. Let me read that again. They were entirely focused on how disappointed they were that Jesus wasn't the person they believed and hoped he was. Jesus hadn't done for them what they had hoped for. They'd hoped for something else, hadn't they? So they'd given up, I believe. They'd turned. They were walking away. They're walking away from the Passover celebration. They're walking back. They're walking back from the other believers. And I believe they're walking away from their faith in Jesus at that time. Now, I think all of us can relate in some form or another at some point in our life that maybe we can look at these men and see that they turned away because Jesus hadn't met their expectation. That can happen to us, can't it? Because they believed, these men, that Jesus had failed them, their expectations of how and what Jesus would do for them. Now, it wasn't that Jesus wasn't with them. We know even here, Jesus was walking with them. Have you ever done that? Pray or hope or expect Jesus to act or do something in a specific way? Maybe acting according to our own desires or our own will? I mean, it happens, right? To pray that he'd free you from a problem that you're having. Or maybe pray that he'd provide for you in a way that you really think you need provided for. Or maybe even to heal you or to prevent a certain sickness. Or maybe even you're dealing with death of a loved one. Maybe even some other traumatic event that's taking place in your life. You ask and question. I think it happens to all of us. Why are these things happening to me? I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. What's our reaction to Jesus when I don't understand why or even what's happening in the world around me? Do I become so immersed with my problems and broken plans that I become blinded that Jesus is still working? When things don't go our way, do we become so immersed with our own problems and broken plans that we become blinded to what Jesus is doing around us, that he's with us even? I think it happens all the time around us. People's lives get flipped upside down. We see it all the time. We see visa problems. We see people fleeing countries. All the time, people's lives get flipped upside down. Deaths, illnesses, sickness, financial problems. We could go on. It happens all the time, every day. What do we do when we face these things? What do we do today? What's our testimony in these times? What's your story? That's what I asked earlier. It wasn't about these two. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about how he's working and what he's doing. Even when things seemed impossible, Jesus was working. Jesus was with them. We must remain in faith. Turn from fear. Repent of our worries. Read the word. Seek Jesus. And know that we live in a fallen, crazy world. And things are going to happen. These two were walking away, hopeless, sad, frustrated. Little did they know, they'd lost hope. They'd given up. Yet the greatest gift ever given had just happened. And Jesus was there walking with them. But they didn't know. I think often we miss how God is working in our own lives because we're so wrapped up with what we just see right in front of us. And so often what we need to do is just simply stay in the Word and trust Jesus and find rest in that. I really believe here in Chiang Mai, and I've said this and I really do believe though, and Asia's due a revival. And the Holy Spirit can sweep through these nations and these countries around here and just convict the people of their need for Jesus. And if we're going to be here and ready to serve these people as they would come in, as the Holy Spirit has called them, we need to trust Jesus. And all these things going around in our world that would seem to discourage us and turn us from that, we need to trust Jesus. He's called each one of us here for a reason, to be here just today, even on this Resurrection Sunday. I think it's sad, though, as we do know that many people's understanding of Jesus is wrong. They're always looking what Jesus can do for them. I think we need to see what we can do today to trust him and serve his church. Warren Wiersbe said, "They saw the glory of the kingdom, but they failed to understand the suffering." Today we're blessed, right? We're blessed to be here today and know that we have so much proof that Jesus is alive. More so than even these two men. We have known of 500 witnesses. We see all the prophecies in the Bible, how they're fulfilled. We see Jesus himself testifying here of the truth. We also have the Holy Spirit testifying, and we have the Word of God speaking of the truth. So if there's anyone here today that hasn't placed your faith in Jesus, don't let this opportunity pass you by. Know that Jesus is alive, and he paid the price for your sins. He is resurrected, and he's calling you to have eternal life with him. Jesus is risen and calling everyone to faith. So I titled this message, "Have You Heard?" Right? That was the message. Well, you've all heard, right? Amen? You've all heard. But today, anyone here that hasn't placed your faith in Jesus, ask that you would believe. But also for those that are here that have heard and have believed, I also challenge you, if you've struggled at all, just turn to Jesus. Turn to his word. Have faith. Repent of any fear in your life. And then go out and share what Jesus has done. Because it all comes back to this to me as I read this. Do you trust God or don't you? With every single thing in our life. Do you trust God or don't you? It sounds so simple, but it's the truth. Will you go back and turn back as these men did? These men turned back, right? They got up. Within an hour, they turned back. And they went out to share and saying, Jesus is alive. So communion is going to be passed out here. Holly's going to be playing. And I just ask that we each would just take some time here in the next few minutes really to reflect on our own lives and who Jesus is. Who we are and what he's done for us. And the promises that he has given us. And if there's anything in your life that's not pleasing to Him, let's take this Resurrection Sunday and really examine our own lives. Are we walking as ones who truly trust God, understanding that He is risen, He is resurrected, and we join in that? So let's take some time now just to reflect on that, and we'll take communion together in just a few minutes.